independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, the Texans have made two waiver claims. Not one, but two waiver claims. And the one that I'm really excited about, we'll talk about Eno Benjamin in just a little bit. The bigger name for the city, there's no doubt about that. But the Texans have claimed Amari Rodgers, the wide receiver from the Green Bay Packers.
No.
Earlier this week, Blankers, Monday?
No.
I don't even think it was on air. I think it might have been off the air. But you were just talking about it. I'm so happy that the Packers have waived Amari Rodgers so I never have to see him play football again. And when it came on my Twitter feed just moments ago that the Texans have claimed Amari Rodgers, I just said, yes, Blankers will not be able to escape the legend that is Amari. I don't know. It's kind of fun.
These malicious thoughts
it's
to fun. Come my way.
I mean, it's not that malicious.
Texans
it's Amari.
Fans,
it's
I warn you. This is
the
horrible.
Malicious thoughts of Amari Rodgers.
Yeah.
This is
great.
Horrible.
This is the best thing that's happened to me all week.
I am warning Texans fans right now, the most non-quarterback fumbles in the NFL this season, and over a two-season span, there was only one guy, and I don't even recall who it was, with more. And oh, by the way, it was like 64 touches, 8 fumbles over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
This is not a good thing, people. I just want to set the table for you right now before you sit down to eat.
Is it not? I mean, it sounds like an embrace the suck guy to me. Doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. He's got doll hands. There's that Boban commercial for Goldfish now where he's got the big body, but he has the hands the size of a doll that he keeps going back and forth with Tobias Harris with.
Oh, man.
Well, Amari Rodgers, I don't know if they're small, but I know that they're slippery, and he cannot hang on to the football. So if you're embracing the suck truly, he can't embrace it because he can't hold on to it, but he can try for you.
I cannot wait to see Amari Rodgers donning the, what are they called, deep still blue, the Liberty, was it?
Liberty White.
It's Liberty White and
Battle Red.
Battle Red. Battle Red's the one I always struggle with. Battle Red, deep still blue, Liberty White, Amari Rodgers donning them all.
Jeremy, you just struggled with all three of them.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to struggle with hanging on to the football.
That was the axis, though, of the struggle, is that I knew that it was Deep Steel Blue. I knew it was Liberty White, but I couldn't remember where the battle came in. Whatever. I screwed up. Actually, I got it right.
Isn't that like when you're a kid and you have to memorize the Pledge of Allegiance? Like when you're at the highway to hell, don't you have to know that every day?
Yeah, you do.
I'm just saying. Some people tattoo it on their fanny.
Yeah.
just saying.
Something happened to me a day or two ago that brought back that previous radio life for me, and I almost said it on the air, but I probably shouldn't.
Say it!
Okay, let me say it, but kind of protect it here a little bit. Somebody DM'd me the other day, and it was completely unrelated to the Texans' Highway to Hell, but I scrolled up a little bit to see the prior dialogue I had with this person, and I had retweeted something that they said about the Texans, and they did not work at Highway to Hell. And they said, be careful what you're retweeting. You work at the flagship. Ooh. And this was like, I mean, it was 2020. This was way back. This was pre-COVID. Pre-COVID when it happened. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal. Not that big of a story. I've only been yelled out twice for bashing the Texans. One was about Jack Easterby, and once was about Deontay Foreman. They told me not to touch Easterby and don't talk bad about them cutting Deontay Foreman. Turned out Deontay Foreman's pretty good at football.
He's doing okay.
Turned out he's pretty good at football.
He has one of the weirdest careers ever.
Yeah, he does.
Because he was so interesting coming out of college. Showed flashes several times, but the dude, like, it just seems like every time he starts to look good, there's an injury or something.
You want to know what it was? You're right. You're right.
Yeah, but early on, wasn't it maturity issues, too, in terms of, like, his preparedness and meetings and practices and things? Otherwise, it was when he came out of Texas, everybody believed he had all the talent in the world. And then
he played really good as a rookie. Yeah. He got hurt late, remember?
And then they thought that he really needed to do some growing up. And then, for whatever reason, it wasn't happening, and they parted company.
So they cut him in the preseason, maybe even before, like before they played a game. I think it was actually before the flight to play their first preseason game, if memory serves. And I said them cutting Deontay Foreman, they just cut their second best running back. I mean, you look back at that team, they had Carlos Hyde, Duke Johnson. Now, Hyde ran for 1,000 yards that year, but Duke Johnson was like this major disappointment after they traded a third rounder for Duke Johnson. And this was actually before they traded for Duke Johnson, because they traded for Duke Johnson late in the preseason. That's right. So this was before they even had Duke Johnson. They had Tywan Jones and Buddy Howe. Those were their backup running backs. And I said they just cut their second best running back. And I got a call and said, don't talk irresponsibly about the Houston Texans that way.
You got a call. I used to get text messages. I used to get the back of my wrist slapped all the time. The one that was the most, like, confusing to me was, I get you're supposed to, you know, like you're saying with the Highway to Hell, you're supposed to protect your own, right? You're supposed to protect your own players to some degree, and the management always thinks you need to protect them more and be hyper-protective than what you think when you're trying to save your integrity by being honest.
Mm-hmm.
One night we were playing an opponent in which I knew coaches on the other team who told me pregame all this stuff about one of the other team's best players. So I hinted around about that and started talking a little bit about that and the fact that this guy was a guy that it wasn't about his ability. It was what's going on between his ears and the fact that he had real issues with his own players, his own coaches, and he was basically a loose cannon.
Yeah.
He got thrown out in the first quarter. And I was like saying, this is exactly what I was talking about. All of a sudden, I got texts and I got like a hand on the back of my shoulder and it was, we want that guy to play for us someday. You shouldn't have said any of those things. You can't say those things. Don't ever. And I go, timeout. I get it with our players, but like, I would think the rest of the league is free reign. Can you give me like a cheat sheet list of guys right. I can't talk about? Because how the hell was I supposed to know?
Yeah.
And I was like getting reamed for it going, how did I get here?
Yeah, it's tough. The other one was when they first hired Jack Easterby. Mm-hmm. I said, this is a lot of power to be giving to a guy who's a team chaplain.
Yeah.
They said, do not talk that way about Jack Easterby.
The Lord will strike you down.
Yeah, I was told not to talk that way about Mr. Easterby. 713-780-ESPN. Now, the Houston Texans, I mean, Amari Rodgers are having a little bit of fun there. I don't even know how they're going to really use Amari Rodgers. That's more, I guess, depth than anything else. Like, I can't imagine he's getting more run than Nico Collins, Brandon Cooks, Chris Moore, even Philip Dorsett. But the one that everybody's excited about, which I would hesitate and say, maybe temper your excitement a little bit. They claimed Eno Benjamin off of waivers from Arizona. There were some rumors that Eno Benjamin was so unhappy with his playing time after Connor came back that he might have had an altercation with an assistant coach. Yeah. Maybe an altercation was a little bit of a shouting match. Who knows? Maybe we'll ask Howard Balzer about it when he's on with us next week. Eno Benjamin's instantly one of their top three running backs. Most people would say he's instantly one of their top two running backs this year with this current roster. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think it was it's a minor move, right? Like, it's not that big a deal. But I do think it's a no-brainer. Like, should Nick Caserio have claimed Eno Benjamin? Yes, absolutely he should. You're trying to add depth to a position where you don't have a whole lot of depth. You have Damian Pierce and nothing else. We've been talking about maybe you're kind of limiting Damian Pierce's workload, because if you're a one-win team that's going nowhere fast and you're looking for the future, why are you going to give Damian Pierce 25, 30 touches a game? It makes zero sense. So Eno Benjamin, the waiver claim, getting him in the fold, it makes 100% sense. It's an easy move for Nick Caserio. It's a good move, a minor move, though, for the Texans GM.
It's a minor move, but at least you don't have to see Rex Burkhead try to get between the tackles and create opportunities to get extra yards. You've got a guy that has been in a similar situation, has excelled doing it, and knows how to play, still has plenty left in the tank. Younger guy looking for a change of scenery, could be a win-win real quick, unlike Amari Rodgers. This is a situation where you get a guy that for the next year or two, the rest of this season and at least one more, can be a guy that does exactly what we wanted to do, which is take that workload off of a guy that you don't want to have. You've got a Porsche, but you're driving it in bumper-to-bumper traffic right now. You're not going anywhere. The last thing you want to do is have people bumping into you and get dented all up and have, you know, a lot of body damage to a car that you expect that you want to ride on the Autobahn and let it go in a couple of years. Benjamin gives you the kind of other guy that can take some of the workload off, at least for the rest of this year, to save the tires and the engine and the overall value of the running back that you got that you really want to use.
And I think that's where his value's at, is kind of eating into that Pierce workload a bit, where instead of Pierce touching the ball 25, 30 times for a one-win team that's going to finish dead last in the NFL, maybe you're touching it 20 times and you're saving some wear on those tires. Now, I don't think Eno Benjamin with this year's team is actually a great scheme fit. I think he's closer to a Rex Burkhead type than he is a Damian Pierce type. Can he run between the tackles? Yeah, he's better at Rex Burkhead running between the tackles. He's serviceable in that department. I think he's better out of the backfield catching the football. And I also think he's better in a spread Cliff Kingsbury, Arizona Cardinal offense than he is in like this little pro style who knows what the Houston Texans are doing. I don't think Eno Benjamin's this fantastic scheme fit. In fact, I think he could be a better role and have better production next year, because look, might have a different offense next year. Yep. I don't think Eno is a great scheme fit for Pep and what the Houston Texans are doing. Who knows if that changes next year? That's not to poo-poo on the move, though. Like, yeah, it makes your running backs better. He's your second best running back right away. Is he a long-term piece? I would hesitate to call him a long-term piece because you really don't know what kind of offense you're going to have long-term for the Houston Texans. If it's this pro-style offense, you know, Benjamin's not a great scheme fit. If you're opening it up a little bit more, if you have a Bryce Young here next year, I think that that's where it's more of a scheme fit. He's like a Darren Sproles type. I hesitate to call him Darren Sproles because there's only one Darren Sproles.
But what have we talked about, too? This roster needs more help, right?
Absolutely.
It needs depth. It needs better football players. It needs younger football players. It needs guys that are going to be around for a couple of years instead of just trying to make a resume builder happen to get another opportunity elsewhere. This is what Benjamin provides you. A guy that is still young enough, that still has enough left in the tank, that can come in here and prove that he belongs for the next couple of years. He wants to be a part of this. And the new opportunity will do him good. It'll do you good, too. It takes the wear and tear off of Pierce for the rest of this season. Next year, he's the complimentary back. He becomes your Rex Burkhead. He becomes a guy you can rely on more as a third down back. Gets more opportunities. Culturally, he fits in, and he's the kind of guy that you can build around. I'm saying.
I don't know if he is.
I'm saying based on what I'm saying is if this all goes as planned, he understands the culture. He gets this fresh opportunity to get a clean, fresh start. He goes with it, and then he can be part of it. So he's on a prove-it deal as much as you're trying to see if he can prove to you he belongs.
Sure.
If it works out for the best, it could be a great pickup.
It's a no-brainer. I'm not giving Nick Caserio flowers for making an obvious decision, but I'm glad that he's making an obvious decision, right? How many times do you see a GM not make an obvious decision? So credit to make an obvious decision, but not giving him the flowers. And curious to see what Eno Benjamin looks, especially in this Pep Hamilton offense. I don't think it's a great fit for the two.
Well, and on the flip side, on the Rodgers thing, I will say this. Unlike Benjamin, you're getting a guy that Rich Bisaccia, the former Raiders interim coach, that's the special teams coach in Green Bay, and Matt LaFleur said, great dude, worked his tail off, but it's all about a results-driven business. Yeah. He couldn't hang on to the football. So you're getting a good locker room guy culturally that's coming in. Can he hang on to the football? Good luck finding out. It bothered me every single time he touched the football.
Todd says, I don't think any player is a good fit for Pep Hamilton's offense. Touche. 713-780-ESPN. How much should Eno eat into Pierce's workload? Is he more than a one-year piece? Is he part of the long-term plan for the Houston Texans and Nick Caserio? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Speaking of that offense, I see a path to either an exciting offense or an exciting defense as soon as next year. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I just walked by the intern's computer. There's no intern there, but they changed the backdrop on the computer to Davis Mills. Davis Mills is now the backdrop of one of the computers at ESPN 97.5. We, as a radio station and as a company, Gal Media, should be embarrassed of ourselves.
And I think it says job.
That's really sticking their neck out there a little bit.
And it says we're all witnesses. They said we're all witnesses along with the picture of Davis Mills. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to call myself an employee of ESPN 97.5.
Did the John Gotti of the Mills Mafia break in here last night?
I don't know, man.
I mean,
I was shocked to see it.
There's only one intern I've seen in the building in the last
2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been
2 months, maybe.
It's been a while.
I saw one that I knew this morning when I walked in. If that was his doing, it would surprise me immensely.
It had to be.
Yeah. I'm disappointed. Anyways, we had off-season mantras for the Houston Texans going way back here, if you remember. Good for you. We did this, I even think, before the Deshaun Watson trade. Is that right? I think we came up with our off-season mantras before the Deshaun Watson trade. Blankers was embrace the suck. Mine was collect draft picks. And Brendan was build one strength. I think all of ours, except for Brendan, has been accurate. The Texans have embraced the suck. The Texans have collected draft picks. I don't think they've built one strength to this point. Maybe special teams. How's Kyme Fairbairn doing this season? No.
Oh.
No. He meant a strength on the side of the...
If losing is a strength, then they've done
it's a stretch.
I mean, Damian Pierce has been good, but the running game in general...
Brendan is a strength. Not part of the offense, while the
other part
sucks.
Where is the Texas running game stack up to the rest of the league? I need to look this up, because I meant to look this up the other day.
I meant to look up how the offense defense
terrible.
Stacks up.
Well, they're terrible. We know
certain
that.
With wagers we had before the season.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We need to do that next week. I forgot about that.
I can look back at
that. That's a lunch bet, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I bring you? If I lose, I'm going to bring you soup. If I lose the bet, I'm going to bring you guys soup.
I get a say-so in it.
What do you mean you're going to say soup?
You just tell me that I got to eat that stinky fish soup you eat.
Well, I'm not going to bring you a soup that you don't like, but 713-780-ESPN, If you win a lunch bet, do you get to pick the lunch that you get? 713-780.
That's
outrageous.
So many people say steak dinner this. And
that's a bad take on Bad Take Boulevard. That is the worst take you've ever had.
What if each one of them was, I thought, a lunch bet? If I win all of them?
You do not. If you win a lunch bet, you do not get to pick where lunch is at.
I want to see what you say about that.
Absolutely not.
You are completely wrong,
sir. Now, if the parameters are before the bet, hey, lunch at Vic and Anthony's, lunch at steak, what is it, 48, I think it is? Like, that's
steak
whenever.
48.
Yeah, steak 48. Like, you have to me, it's not to the point. It's not post fact. You have to make the parameters of the bet at the very beginning. If you wanted lunch
this
at steak
is from
48,
the guy that had all the
steak
parameters post bet with Cody
no,
all up in
what
the
What are
wind.
You talking about? There was no parameters of that bet. I was wondering if there was a bet in general. I never had
saying.
Parameters.
You were supposed to make it before?
I do believe.
Yeah.
And
you
I would.
You didn't?
But I'm saying whenever you have, like, I will bet you lunch that this happens. You can't say after the fact if you win the bet where lunch is going to be.
The question is, what's the default?
What is the default?
Who gets to decide?
The loser.
The winner.
I think it's the loser as well, but I think it's a good question, and I'm very curious what people think.
I think that you have to also have, I think the only parameter is you can't go and spend $1,000 on lunch, but I think that it has to go the way of the guy that won the bet.
I've never, ever heard
Otherwise,
of that in my life.
The loser could go, hey, we're going to 7-Eleven, pick out some snacks. That's lunch,
buddy.
I mean,
you have to have a little bit of, like, courtesy as the loser.
Well,
you have to be a
don't.
Good loser. I mean, I don't know about that.
There's a reason why there's a term called poor loser. There's some people that don't like to lose and don't like to pay.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're a gentleman, you handle your defeats with integrity. Like, 713-780 ESPN. Like, I'm curious what the Hive has to think here. 713-780-3776. If you make a lunch bet with somebody and there's no, like, okay, lunch is going to be from here, who decides where lunch is from after the bet? 713-780-3776 or twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Each one of these bets?
I don't think it was each one. I think it was the winner of them all.
Yeah.
I think it was one
good.
Lunch.
That's great. I'm totally on board with that.
No.
But I was under the misconception that it was per bet.
And I honestly don't even know who's winning the bets. Like,
I'm trying to find it now.
It
I asked because I totally don't know either.
Day One Donna says, if I'm winning a bet, I'm picking the restaurant.
Aha!
See, I would if I won a bet, honestly, this is how I handle winning bets. If I'm being completely honest, like, full disclosure, I don't even tell somebody I won the bet. Like, I leave it up to them to say, okay, I lost. Here's lunch. Here's $100. Like, whatever. If I win a bet, unless it's like my friends and I'm trolling them, I usually don't even bring it up. Like, I beat King of Twitch on a bet. Here you go. Full disclosure. King of Twitch and I on Twitch, we bet about Yuli Gurriel's, like, batting average rest of the season, which was a bet that I won in a landslide. I haven't brought it up to King of Twitch, which, by the way, I just did. But that's because of this conversation. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, as most things are.
Yes.
713-780-3776. Ray, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What is your side of this this argument?
Yeah, you got to go with the winner, man, because the winner is the person who won. Because now the person said, hey, I won the bet, so you have to give me what I want. Parameters could be set, but it's still the winner's choice.
All right. So Donna,
yeah, Ray, preach it.
Donna says winner's choice. Ray says winner's choice. Bryles on Twitch says winner picks. Don't be a bad word. Look, maybe I'm just ignorant to this. I've always felt it was a loser pick thing, but being a good loser, like, I'm not going to pick up something you don't like, but it's a lunch bet too, so I'm not picking you up a steak.
No, but we also joke about the fact
I
mean, we could go to Frankie's Italian Kitchen. It's fine.
I thought Brendan had something to say. 713-780-ESPN.
He's just going to say more to be on your side.
No. Who's responsible for the bet?
Well, I think it's tough, but I think they're, like, maybe I'm totally off base here. This could be completely out of nowhere.
Man.
But I think that it is more likely that a winner is going to ask for too much than a loser is going to, or I'm sorry. Yeah, a winner is going to ask too much than a loser is going to cheap out. Like, I think I trust the loser to be fair.
I think both can be true.
Yeah.
I think the loser would very much want to cheap out, and I think that you're very accurate in saying that some winners would like to rub it in by going a little high dollar.
1788, if I win the lunch bet, I get to choose the lunch spot. 5012, winner always, capital letters, gets to pick where. That's part of the bet. 1970, but make sure that you're a cheap date. 6730, the winner gets to pick.
That's a landslide, buddy.
6730 says unless the spot was predetermined. It wasn't predetermined.
It wasn't.
We didn't pick a spot. D Green says the winner decides. This is almost unanimous. I am in shock. I am today years old that the winner gets to pick the lunch bet if they win the lunch bet and there wasn't a predetermined spot. I'm in disbelief. I really am.
Validated.
You have been validated here. Spencer, winner picks. The loser is the loser. 8275, winner picks, but must be in realm of normal lunch spots, which I trust either That's one fine. Of us. Yeah. Blankers, yeah. Brendan. Well, I guess Brendan wasn't in this competition. Mm-mm. Brendan just gets to sit back and watch us have lunch together as we give Brendan water and bread.
Bring him like the doggy bag.
I mean, producers should get water and bread, if we're being completely honest with you. They do hard work. They get water and bread
Fruity
for lunch.
Dessert?
Not Brendan.
No.
Not Brendan. He doesn't think fruit. No, that's just that's part of the food pyramid. That's the fruit
but wouldn't that
serving
be
on the food
insult
pyramid.
The injury that we would bring him a fruity dessert?
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I'm not trying to be rude. That's just what they eat. They eat bread and water.
I feel like I need to re-stress this every 2 or 3 months. Fruity dessert can be good. It's just not dessert.
Yeah, I know. It's still a bad take.
I'm just saying,
that you're re-emphasizing how you said
but
it.
It's
like
not
kind
a
of
punishment. Fruity dessert is fine.
Yeah. King of Twitch says he's going to figure out how to give me a gift card. He doesn't want to have lunch with me, I guess, which is fine. I don't want to have lunch with King of Twitch.
We used to joke about that same thing with Cody when he refused to have a steak dinner with you, that then you better get a good gift card.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Which, I mean, that's fine. I don't care. I don't need people to have a good lunch. Fake Tony Stark. So Brendan is the real loser. Water and bread. Yeah, so what? He gets a little bit of water and bread. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm really curious who's winning the bet now. 0754 McDonald's is what you get. Don't threaten me with a good time, 0754. I love McDonald's. 0496, you should have decided the lunch first. I mean, honor system.
Okay,
I'm not worried about deciding lunch first.
I'm
now,
not either if I look, because I know you well enough.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
It was someone that I didn't know very well, like someone on Twitch that's running their mouth, yeah, I'd be a little bit more concerned about the parameters. But
I'm not worried about it.
I'm not looking at you thinking, oh, he's going to run up the bill on me.
I've changed my mind. I've allowed the hive to recondition how I think. From this day forward, if I make a lunch bet without a predetermined spot, if I lose that bet, I'm asking the winner where they want lunch. You've convinced me, all hive, and who says that I'm stubborn and not open-minded? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right, let's talk about that path to an exciting offense or exciting defense. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
8092 texting in said, you guys remind me of that Seinfeld episode where Jerry owed the guy a lunch and he only ate, I think he said he only ate an entree, so the guy said it didn't count. I think he only ate an appetizer, so he said it didn't count. I think that was, what was that guy's name? He had the Ovaltine joke. There was one Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where some guy wins. Like Larry David was the celebrity, and you're bidding to win a celebrity lunch, and so the guy wins. Larry David is his celebrity lunch, mm-hmm. And Larry David gets like a I can't remember what he ordered, but he got his food before the guy got his food, and Larry David's like, do you mind if I start? And the guy's like, yeah, I do mind. I don't want you to eat your food just yet until I get mine, which Seinfeld and Curb, a couple of my favorite shows. 0754, this is the guy that texted about McDonald's. I said, don't threaten me with a good time. Mm-hmm. He says, fine, Branham, Taco Cabana is what you get. I mean, that's still a very good time. Like, I love Taco Cabana, especially now that you can get the margaritas to go.
Quesadillas.
I mean, my goodness. Taco Cabana's, where is that? Little Taco C? Yeah, give me that. 713-780-ESPN. All right, so I see a
you
path.
You hipped up Taco Cabana with Taco C?
Yeah, Taco C.
Okay.
Yeah, Taco C's, that's the place to be.
Word.
You don't, you've never heard Taco C?
That's straight fire.
A little late night. I mean, it's not hip. It's not cool. It's just what it's called.
Taco C, I've never heard
You've
of
never
it.
Heard
no,
of it? 713-780-ESPN. Have you heard of Taco C? 713-780-3776. Anyways, I see a path to the Texans having an exciting offense or an exciting defense as soon as next year. I didn't say winning offense. I didn't say winning defense. I said exciting for a reason. The Texans are going to have two top picks, right? They're going to have the number one pick. They're going to have whatever the Cleveland Browns are. Brendan thinks they could end up top 10. I think it's in play. I think it probably ends up 11, 12, 13, somewhere there. But around the 10th pick of the NFL draft to go along with number one. If you should want to go back-to-back offense, number one and number 11, like yesterday we used the example of Bryce Young, Quentin Johnston, the wide receiver from TCU. If you have Bryce Young as your quarterback, Johnston is around, Nico Collins is around, you're getting back John Metchie, you have Damian Pierce, how is that not an exciting offense?
Well,
that's an exciting offense like that.
Absolutely.
That's an exciting offense before you go to sleep on April 27th.
And there's still other ways you can fortify the line even more.
Yeah, like they need help at center.
Yeah.
But like center, you're not drafting with the number one pick or number 12
pick. The interior two guys need to be better.
Yeah.
And you expect expect that Green has to mature more and understand the game more, but there's no reason to say that he wouldn't and he won't. So, yeah, there's actually a quick fix way to getting way better on offense.
I'm kind of drooling over that offense next year, if I'm being completely honest. And you can have it as soon as April 27th. Like, you can have it the night of April 27th to where all of a sudden the Texans' offense could be fun to watch. Now, you might want to have an offensive coordinator conversation around this.
Ooh, you better.
If you're talking about an offensive mind, you might be having a head coach conversation around this as well. But a Bryce Young, Quentin Johnston, Nico Collins, you probably trade Cooks at this point. But you got Damian Pierce, an upgraded center maybe in the third round. Who doesn't want to watch that offense after watching Davis Mills for the last 2 years?
Is it still first round only on the 27th?
Yeah, yeah.
So then you might have to wait an extra day.
No,
the two first round picks.
If I go Bryce Young and Johnston, the kid from TCU, I said Bryce Johnson. If I go Johnston and Young with my first two picks,
that sounds like
on April 27th, you're not going to sleep happy.
Well, the Texans offense, the deal isn't done.
It's not completely done.
In the next day or two after that, if you then fortify the line a little bit and you could do a couple of other things like a tight end. I mean, goodness gracious, there's no reason to believe that this team couldn't be like. I can't say the Lions. Like a team that could score points at will against any, you know, at teams in the NFL, just good, you know, you're a little concerned about good luck stopping somebody.
Yeah. So, like, wouldn't you be excited about that offense, Brendan? You don't even care it's Bryce Young. Like, I like Bryce Young more than Stroud. I like Bryce Young more than Levis. But even if they went Stroud or Levis, like, Levis would make a lot of people mad. But if they went Bryce Young or Stroud and then Johnston with the wide receiver number one spot with the Browns pick, I think people would be very excited about the upcoming Houston Texans season. Now, I don't think it's going to translate into wins because it's hard to win with rookies in the NFL, but wow, I'd be excited to watch the offense.
I think it would translate to ticket sales. I think it would translate to people jumping back on the bandwagon because I would think that they can finally see substance of at least one side of the football where they could be something that's entertaining to watch that people are taking notice across the league of. Absolutely.
Maybe some light at the end of the tunnel. I'd be very excited to see that offense. Would you? 713-780-ESPN. And that speaks to Brendan's offseason mantra. Now, it'd be an offseason late, but they would have one strength. You see some light at the end of the tunnel from the offensive side of the ball. Now, you could also go defense. You could go defensive side of the ball. And honestly, I think that there's currently more foundational pieces defensively than there is offensively. Actually, it's a good conversation.
Petrie, Harris, Stingley.
Yeah, those are the big three. I don't even put Grenard in it anymore. Grenard's had a lousy. And I know he's been hurt.
He's been like Harry Houdini the way he's disappeared. Yeah. I mean, from what the conversations you and I were having leading into the season about where he could go next and find out where he actually went. It's like there's going to be an episode of Dateline coming up of what happened to John Grenard.
So three defensive foundational pieces. You just named them. Harris, Stingley, Petrie. Offensively, you might have three too, though. Like Damian Pierce, I think, is a foundational piece, obviously. Kenyon Green has not played as those other three defensive rookies, but is a foundational piece. Would you call Nico Collins a foundational piece?
See, I wouldn't.
I think he still has some work to do.
Yeah, I think it's still a work in progress to figure out what he is. But then I'm thinking about, if not him, who? Because
I have two more. I know you're not going to like one of them.
You have one. Well, one of them is Tunsil.
I was going to go Titus Howard first.
But I was going to say Howard's the other one in my opinion.
See, I would say Tunsil. Like, I think Tunsil is a foundational piece. I know he's older than the other guys, but I think you can play longer at left tackle in the NFL. And I think if you're going to be drafting a franchise quarterback at number one, you should be trying to protect him and keep Laramie Tunsil, who's been one of the best left tackles in football this year.
Yeah, no, and I think that those are guys that at least are under consideration, but I think that also tells you how much work has to be done in terms of rebuilding that side of the football.
No, there's a lot of work to be done, but if you go to sleep the night of April 27th with Young and Johnston, you're going to be pretty excited about what the Texans offense could look like in 23. But then if you want to go to the defensive side of that as well, like a lot of people love Will Anderson. I'm a huge fan of Jalen Carter. You can get some interior pass rush. But either one of those guys, like you can go Jalen Carter, Will Anderson at number one, and then you're picking 11 or 12. You can do whatever you want on the defensive side of the football to where now you have two extra foundational pieces. One of them can get to the football or get to the quarterback, create some pressure. I think you'd be pretty excited about the defense too. Now, I'm not saying that the Texans need to like load up on one side of the ball. All I'm saying is that we're sitting here in week, 11 in the NFL. The Texans have won one game. There's not a whole lot to be positive and encouraging about when it comes to the Houston Texans. I'm telling you, I'm starting to look at some positivity with the Houston Texans.
But immediately from there, you can start considering yourself not the worst roster in the NFL. You can start looking at the other light of the tunnel, and you still might be there.
Yeah,
but I'm saying
that's a good question.
You can see yourself possibly not being there for much longer because you continue to add foundational pieces, and you consider yourself a team that then will add more pieces, both in the draft and have guys that want to play there finally. that where you can get out of that cellar too.
You're a year closer. You're a year closer. We don't know when that is like fully going to be here, but you're a year closer. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. 713-780-3776. Jason, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's up, Killer Bees? What's going on?
What's up, man?
So I have a real question here. Because I'm baffled.
As opposed to a fake one?
No. Look, check it out. So I called him before talking about the whole quarterback situation, right?
Yeah.
And we've already, you know, discovered, or we've already said that Nick Caserio wants a towering quarterback who stays in the pocket, who slides his foot,
yep,
just to get open to make the throws, right? So I'm like, you know, everybody's talking about Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. These aren't the type of quarterbacks that Nick Caserio really, you know, likes.
Yep.
So I'm just kind of like, everybody's thinking it's going to be these two guys, and we already have come to the conclusion that he doesn't like quarterbacks like that. So just me being a couch GM, as people call it, I did a mock draft. I actually traded the first pick, and I traded to Carolina, and I got, like, other picks, and I got, like, five first-rounders because I don't see us taking C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young or even Will Levis for that. Maybe Spencer Rattler, maybe later on down the draft, maybe Grayson, somebody, I don't know.
Jason, which arm did you give up for all these first-rounders? That's a lot of first-rounders.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got you, but right? Everybody says, or everybody knows, Nick wants a certain type of quarterback.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, why would he draft either one of those if those are not the type of quarterbacks that he wants? Like, I'm just confused why everybody's thinking that we're going to go that way.
Appreciate the call, Jason. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. Look, I don't think you can jump. I don't think you can draw that conclusion yet. We have not seen Nick Caserio really. I mean, he's only brought in two quarterbacks. I guess you can count Driscoll. Maybe you can count Ryan Finley. He's brought in Davis Mills, who certainly looks that part, what Jason is talking about. Now, a lot of it is what happened in New England. Like, so you're kind of like, and I've done this too, like you're making it to where what happened in New England is what Nick Caserio's philosophy is going to be in Houston. Now, do I believe Nick Caserio has a type when it comes to the quarterback position? Yeah, I do. I do think it's possible, though, that Caserio is going to love Bryce Young and select Bryce Young, even though he's very small and he's very slender. I've been meaning to actually look up at all the quarterbacks that Caserio worked with in New England to see, like, their height, their measurables, all of that. I don't think we can jump to the conclusion yet. Like, Nick Caserio, still very early, is the GM of the Houston Texans. He has brought in big quarterbacks. He hasn't brought in any small quarterbacks. Now, C.J. Stroud is 6'3". Like, I would say that that's big enough. Will Levis is, I think, 6'3", 6'4", and is, like, 230. Like, mm-hmm. He looks like Josh Allen. I'm not saying he's going to be Josh Allen.
Easiest way to put on weight is, yeah, mayonnaise in your coffee.
Actually, that's kind of keto. Like, that's actually the opposite, yeah, thing. So, but anyways, Stroud and Levis, I think, would fit that mold that we think Nick Caserio has. I don't think we can say that it's for sure, but that we think Nick Caserio has. Bryce Young does not. Bryce Young is nowhere near the mold of what we think Nick Caserio has.
But I think the one thing that you hope Caserio is open-minded to is throw the mold out the window when you have the intangibles that kid has in terms of his pocket presence, his intelligence at the position, his ability to keep that clock at the even-keeled and to be able to lead a team at the most important times of a football game. I mean, he watches enough tape and he has to see enough Alabama games to realize this is a down year for Alabama in a lot of ways, but the one where position it's not is the guy that continues to squeeze out wins for you in Bryce Young. And if you compare the three and realize, hey, the other two guys may be a little bit bigger, but this guy already gets it in terms of how to play the position, think the position, and execute the position, that's got to trump the other, yeah, things.
I'm with you. The fear that I have of Bryce Young not being a Texan is because of that mindset, which I do
see
think.
It,
I mean,
as
I
a
do think it possibly exists. I mean, he hasn't brought in a lot of quarterbacks, but the quarterbacks he has brought in have been 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 1185. If he can get Bryce Young and he passes on him, then I'm done with Nick and Cereal and the whole damn Texans organization. I'm not sure why Cereal is involved here. Probably meant, I don't know who he meant.
I was thinking, like, that is Caserio, yeah, if you said it in
voice text. But he said Nick and Cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he said Nick Caserio just got messed up. Yeah. But would you be willing to go that far? Because, like, you love Bryce Young. Bryce Young is my top quarterback as well. If he does not go Bryce Young.
And he could.
But let's, I mean, I wouldn't be as mad if he goes defense or trades down. But if he goes Stroud or Levis ahead of Bryce Young, would you be done? Like, you couldn't be.
I can't.
But would you be done with the Texans organization if you were a fan?
I would question it. I would question his employment, and I would question what they are doing if they have the opportunity to select Bryce Young and they pass on him. I think that would be a very Houston draft kind of thing to do. I think we've seen it before with top picks with the Texans, where Reggie Bush was the slam dunk one year and they went another direction and everybody went, oh. Yeah,
which,
and it didn't turn out bad, right?
Yeah.
But we've seen these kind of things happen before. It wouldn't surprise me, but at the same time, I'd be really questioning Nick Caserio.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Are the Mariners a threat to the Astros? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I'll tell you about the good people at Vivia. Look, there's a lot of people doing a lot of things these days. The weather's not boiling hot, and you might use that and take advantage of that to try and clean out the garage, clean out the attic, get rid of a bunch of stuff you don't need, and then maybe do some home renovations and some things where you're upgrading your kitchen or otherwise, and you figured out how to get the job done to make the improvements. You just didn't figure out how to get rid of all the extra and the trash and the stuff you don't want. It's real simple. Just go Vivia. GoVivia.com. Vivia is the answer to all your trash takeaway needs. They have 10-yard and 15-yard rollaway dumpsters, small enough to fit comfortably in your driveway. They're good-looking enough to make all the HOAs stay away, and you won't have ugly dumpsters that ruin your home's curb appeal. It's five-star service. Like I mentioned, same-day delivery and pickup. It's all up to you to schedule it, and they will bring it to you in the morning, take it away at night, and there's no issues for you to deal with. Give them a call today. Explain your dumpster needs. They're going to take care of you. They're going to make it work for you because they're going to make it easy for you. Project managers do the same thing. You need a dumpster. You need to take away all the extra. They'll do it for you so you don't have to. Texas Custom Patios. You hear them advertise on ESPN 97.5. They trust Avia with their waste needs for their projects, and you should too. We use them at our ESPN golf tournament. They do a fantastic job. Mention us to them. They'll tell you just how happy they are, and they'll be happy to work with you, too. It's govavia.com. That's govavia.com. Govavia.com. Let them take out your trash.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
1970 says, after a night at the Den at U of H, Taco C on Old Spanish Trail was the go-to.
Did he call it Old Spanish Trail? Or
he called it OST.
Uh-huh.
I was just showing off that I knew what OST meant, that I know my abbreviations.
I knew
in the
that.
City of Houston. I know you knew it.
But you grew up here.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew it. Okay. 713.
I didn't know Taco C.
780. That's just because you're not cool. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Mariners made a baseball trade today. I grabbed my baseball bat because we're about to talk baseball. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. Are the Mariners a threat? You can weigh in on it, though. 713-780-3776. But Kevin wants to talk about Caserio. Let's go out to the HRMP line for Kevin talking about Caserio. Kevin, what do you want to say about Nick Caserio?
Yeah, let me say, I've called before. I'm just not a big fan of Caserio to kind of, you know, piggyback on you guys' conversation. I would not be surprised if you go in the opposite direction of Bryce Young, as you all have mentioned, the prototype quarterback that he looks at. But with that being said, let's just think for a moment. Like, Lovie Smith probably won't be here in another year or so. You bring in a new quarterback, Nick Caserio will have another opportunity to hire a new head coach. And then what do you guys think about just even a young quarterback getting acclimated to a new head coach, a new system? And then let me say this, Joel, when you guys get a chance, Joel, I want to ask you a question. I know you guys are not talking about basketball. Is it time to get rid of Silas? I think it is.
Oh, I've been talking about it. We can talk about it again. Thanks, Kev.
Yeah, answer that. We'll start with Silas. Let's reverse engineer
Kevin's call. We've talked about this, and I brought it up numerous times in the past couple weeks. I don't have anything personally against Steven Silas. I want him to succeed. He didn't sign up to coach a team full of 19- and 20-year-olds. He thought Russ and James and those guys were going to be here, but he's a bad fit. And it's increasingly obvious to me watching this team on a nightly basis that you are kind of holding back and hurting the development of all these young players, because offensively they're not running any kind of a system. defensively. They're not understanding how to rotate and switch and help. And I think that overall, there's going to be a time, I think, sooner rather than later when they realize they got to get a different guy to handle this roster and this situation.
Yeah, I want Sadas to have the whole year. I want to see how the team looks at looks like at the end of the season versus where they are now, and if there's enough to bring Silas back. There's reason to doubt that there's not going to be. I heard Silas the other day double down on the isolations too. Like, they asked him after the game. It was after the Eric Gordon game, wherever he sounded off about moving the ball and stuff like that. And Silas was like, "Well, you know, we are one of the best teams in efficiency off of isolations." So that's like him standing on the table about ISO ball. So, like, there's not going to be all of a sudden this changing of guards of how the Rockets change what they do offensively. You have your head coach doubling down that they're a good ISO team. So he's going to run some ISO ball.
And to your point, though, Jeremy, we saw enough of it at the end of last year to have concerns. The fact that it's still going this year, I hear you. You can let it play out till the end of the year if you want. Tillman's not going to go out and get someone new until next year anyway. And you've got Lionel Hollins and John Lucas that can do the same thing, if not better, getting this team through the end of the regular season. But overall, long-term, for the type of talent that you have on this roster, I think you've got to develop it better. I think you've got to fortify it more. And I think that you've got to maximize it. And I don't think they're doing that.
As far as what Kevin said about Caserio, there's reason to doubt Nick Caserio. Now, you could make the case that the next coach will be his third head coach hire. You could also make the case that it'd be his first head coach hire. A lot of people feel like he didn't hire Lovie Smith. Cully, I think, was on Nick Caserio, but I'm not sure Lovie. I don't think Lovie Smith was at all. I mean, he wasn't on the finalist list, and then all of a sudden
Jack had a significant say-so in Cully? I kind of do.
I don't know. I really don't.
I don't either, but I kind of feel like Cully seems like more of an Easterby type guy.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rule it out. And that's why I said maybe you can make the case Caserio would be hiring his first coach. To the point about, first off, Caserio, the jury's still out on Caserio. There's some things that he's done really poorly. You can look at the two coaching hires, but then, like we're saying, how much of that is on Nick Caserio. The drafts have been fine. Like, I think that they've been mostly good as opposed to, like, mostly bad. I think he's been more on the good side than the bad side. I don't think that he's done he's not been perfect, but he hasn't been so bad. Like, some of the trades where he's made for Ryan Finley, the Green Bay Packer corner, using late-round draft picks, cutting them a week later, Anthony Miller, throw him into that mix. They're all minor, but not good. I think Nick Caserio right now is probably, like, if do I have faith in Nick Caserio? I would say my lean is yes, but I'm not just, like, hooked on Nick Caserio.
I do. I mean, I've seen more and more. And like I said, the one thing that I continue to go back, because I don't disagree with what you've said, and we've talked about it, but what I really liked was how he handled the Watson trade, how he got as much of an upper hand as he could possibly have to have some control of it, basically looked like out of control, no control situation for the team. And I think he handled that, really orchestrated that whole thing really, really well. And so that gave me more to lean on. And then when he had the draft that he had last year, And how he really hit on the first four rounds really gave me more belief that this guy knows what he's doing and he's going to be good for this franchise. So I don't dispute, and I agree with you on a lot of the things that you point out in terms of reasons to maybe not trust him. I think those two things significantly solidified my belief this guy's the right guy for this job.
Now, the head coach position's interesting because I agree with Kevin. Like, I don't want a franchise quarterback having to learn a new system 2 years in a row. Whoever you're drafting in the first round is going to have to be learning an NFL system.
You don't want him to be the second coming of Sam Darnold with a rotating door of coaches and coordinators.
Yeah, that's the last thing that you want. I would make the case that if you're drafting a franchise quarterback, you also need to hire an offensive mind that's going to guide that franchise quarterback for X amount of years, right? For however long that it will take you and work. I don't think that you can do that by only bringing in a new offensive coordinator. I think if you need that offensive wizard, if you have to have that offensive mind because you have that franchise quarterback, and if you want that to be in year one as opposed to year two, then you have to move on from Lovie Smith after one season.
Look, I think it's you're a victim of circumstance, right? We know the circumstances because 2 years in a row, it's the elephant in the room, so to speak, in terms of the discussions. 2 years in a row, you got rid of a coach after 1 year. Also, you got two consecutive African-American coaches that got let go in 1 year's time. And there's going to be a lot of heat on you for that. There's going to be a ton of it, right? So you're a victim of circumstance in some ways there, but you're going to have to deal with that. But the other thing is, you don't want an Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence situation where you got to weigh your values, too, and how much you're willing to take that on versus take on the fact that you're going to let Lovey have another year with Pep Hamilton or without Pep Hamilton to try and start the process with a franchise quarterback that you're expected to be around 8 to 10 years. And if he gets set back like Trevor Lawrence did, or worse, that you could really stunt the growth of your entire franchise because of how important that guy in that position is.
I mean, if you're drafting a quarterback number one this year, you're drafting that quarterback with the intent that he's going to lead you back to the postseason. Mm-hmm. And so you have to do everything possible to put that quarterback in a position to succeed. That quarterback with a Pep Hamilton offense doesn't look like that's the best position to succeed. Lovie Smith, say what you want about him as a head coach. I think he's bottom third of the NFL. But if you're going to have to upgrade an offense and you have to, like, you're seriously upgrading an offense, you're not going to get by on just the offensive coordinator. It's got to be the head honcho. Look at all the offensive minds that were hired as head coaches this year. Doug Peterson, O'Connell in Minnesota, McDaniel in Miami. Like, those, like, you're not getting that caliber of offensive coordinator. You have to make him the head coach. Poor Marine says on our Twitch that Cully is Casario's pick, just like Lovey. Possibly Cully. I really don't know. If you want to put Cully on Casario, that's fine. But there is no way I'm putting Lovie Smith on Nick Casario.
No way.
The Texans had six finalists for the job. Lovie Smith literally never interviewed for the job. He was nowhere near the finalist list, and then all of a sudden became the head coach after a Sunday
supper. They had to pull the emergency brake, and they had to adapt on the fly in a split second. There is no way you put that one squarely on Casario's shoulders and say he was grooming him and that was the guy he wanted all along and that was his leading candidate. No way.
Yeah, Big C asked us. I don't know. Did y'all talk about Sean Payton last week at all? No. What Florio said, like that the Texans could be an option to bring in Sean Payton. Big C asked us that. Here's my question. What if Sean Payton wants to come to the Texans? Would you give up the Browns first rounder to the Saints to get him?
Nope.
Yeah, I wouldn't give up a top three round pick.
No way. I would love it if he's interested. And I would find out a way when he's free of the Saints to be able to investigate and negotiate. There's no way with how many different holes that there still are to fill on this roster that I'm giving away a first-round pick from a guy that was your franchise quarterback to get a coach?
No. Yeah, I'm not using a first-rounder. I would hesitate to use a top-three-round pick. Like,
nice
fourth
try,
round
Clarence.
Might be the most I would go. Now, if you're looking for some offensive minds, because look, the most interesting thing about the Texans, quite frankly and quite honestly, is April 27th, the NFL draft, and if they make a change at head coach. Like, you're going to want to get an offensive mind if you're going franchise quarterback at number one. Some of the coordinators that I do like, I would be interested in Byron Leftwich. I really would. I think he's done a really good job in Tampa. I'd be interested in Ken Dorsey, who I think has done a really good job in Buffalo as well.
Yeah, no, look, I think you've named two guys that at least – one more looks more stable than the other, but both have a firm grasp on offensive concepts, right? I mean, Dorsey's the guy that's, you know, Tom Brady-esque, breaking things and going nuts in the press box when things don't go the team's way at the end of a game. Obviously, working with a guy like Tom Brady, and Byron Leftwich was a guy that a lot of people thought should have been the next head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The only reason why that he didn't get the job was they liked how he interacted with Brady and worked with Brady on a daily basis too much to break that up even a little bit. I think Byron Leftwich is a coach in waiting. I think Byron Leftwich might look at this situation and go, not only do I get to go in and run my offense with an up-and-coming, highly touted quarterback, but in a year's time, I might be able to be elevated to the head coaching job if we do our job and he's still the same guy. So I think Byron Leftwich, to me, would be a guy that would be extremely intriguing in terms of what he brings short-term as an offensive coordinator and what he could bring possibly long-term as a head coach.
Keep me away from what's old boy in Dallas? Kellen Moore. Keep me away from Kellen Moore. I don't want Kellen Moore being my head coach.
I don't believe in him that much either. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of scrutiny right now going on in Dallas from Dak and all around. I've never been sold on Kellen Moore like the Cowboys seem to have been and didn't want to lose him even when they hired McCarthy. I think he's fine where he's at. I think there are other teams that are probably going to give him a shot. I don't want him here with the Texans. And I think that, you know, you want a guy that is more proven with a longer track record offensively so that you can believe that and you know that that's the guy that's going to be with this quarterback for the foreseeable future.
All right, we're going to get to the Mariners stuff at 2:15. We kind of got sidetracked there a little bit, but we'll talk about the Mariners being a threat at 2:15. 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next, though, we do it every Wednesday at 2 o'clock. In case we missed it, the stories we've been wanting to get to, we just haven't had a chance. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. I tell you about him all the time. Look, if you're out there and you're experiencing hair loss and thinning and balding, and you think there's nothing you can do about it but shave your head or go get those sprays and creams and foams that mask the problem, I've got a solution for you. It's called the Neograft procedure. It's basically taking your own hair where you have it and will never lose it, and genetically studies show you you're never going to lose it on the sides and in the back, and they take every third or fourth follicle and they move it to where you need it most. Maybe you got the baboon's butt on the top, or maybe your forehead has turned into an 8-head in the front. They can fix it. They fixed mine and gave me my hairline back. Doc Linville said to me, "Joel, you want your old hairline back?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, he showed me pictures and he went through it and he said, "Here, I can get it back again." And he did. And I think that's the main thing to me. He got results. You can check it out too. The Neograft procedure and all the information, go to 975hair.com. Set up an appointment for the free consultation. It normally costs $150. As ESPN listeners, you get it for free. Go in with just a whole notebook full of questions. Ask every one of them, from financing to how long the procedure lasts, the recovery time, when do you start seeing the full results. And the big thing that got me, 95%+ of all of the follicles moved, stay and grow, and are with you for the long haul. That's what really convinced me. I could not have been happier and continue to be happier than I ever thought I'd be with the procedure. Check it out today. Tell him I sent you by. He's the best in the business. He's right here in Houston, Texas. Go see Doc Linville, 975hair.com.